Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Guy Montgomery.
Tim Batt.
I want to be specific.
Timothy Andrew Batt.
You got it. You nailed it.
I do you know why I got it, Tim?
Why?
Because I get it. I'm like you. I get it. I get down and dirty. You know, I'm on the ground floor, picking up things, looking at things, putting them back down.
Like my middle name.
Yeah.
You pick it up, you look at it, and you go,
I pick it up. I look at it letter by letter. I look at the A. I think it's a strong start. It's a classic of the genre. It's one of my favorite vowels. I look at the N. I think middle of the alphabet. Almost. Just on the other side of the, you know, on the other side of the tracks. I put the tracks between the M and the N in the alphabet.
Yeah, I do too. That makes total sense to me. I have no idea where they're placed sort of numerically out of the 26, but M and N.
I can tell you. I know this stuff. 13 and 14.
They're the middle children.
Yeah. And isn't it nice to look at some middle children like that and such a big family and think, what a name they've made for themselves.
Do you think that the letter N has slightly dark energy?
I do. I honestly do. I know that some people look at getting into the second half of the alphabet as the downward slope and that they're setting themselves free. But to me, it's sort of like there's something slightly sinister about it, I think.
Yeah, it's light and shade. There's the light side, which is the first half, the first 13 letters that we're dealing with. And then as soon as you trip over N, you're like, the vibe has changed here.
Yeah, it has. That's interesting, isn't it? You know, we never really talk about this stuff. And then you got your D, which is just like such a light, bouncy letter right up the top.
Yeah.
R is like, you know, R was born into darkness, but has but within themselves, within their heart, has never been able to embrace it. I would say R is a disappointment to letters like N, who are trying to spearhead this movement in the second half of the alphabet.
What's the darkest letter of the whole English alphabet? Like, what one is truly villainous in tone? I think maybe W.
Really? I was going to say V.
Interesting. Well, you know, you get two Vs, you stick them together. Essentially, you've got a W.
And for some reason, that's a W. Fucking crazy.
I think in some languages, like maybe not Spanish, I can't remember what, they do call it double V, though. You know, like their version of double V.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And in German, they say they say their W's as V's and their V's as W's. So A Volkswagen suddenly becomes a Volkswagen.
It's fun. It's a fun language. They're a fun people. Yeah,
they are a fun people, historically.
Famously.
And then you've got your E, second vowel. Nice to be working with A, their old colleagues. And
dude, E is the workhorse of the English language. Every child knows that that is the backbone of the letter economy.
It's the giant on which the shoulders of the English language stand. And then you close out with the W, an evil little W. So there's your middle name, Andrew. And what I do is I walk around, I pick it up, I take a little look at it, I put it back down because I'm like you. I get it.
I think the W darkness for me comes from Super Mario because that's Wario. And Wario is like the dark.
And he rocks the W.
Of Mario.
He rips the W hard. Hey, by the way, Tim, I'm holding your formal wear hostage.
You are? Yes, Guy's got a suit behind him.
Not mine.
Not his, but it's hanging up. It's an interesting visual. No one will ever see this because we're not recording the video, but I can see it. Guy is shirtless, but he's got my suit hanging up behind him.
That's right. I'm reminding everyone what we're capable of.
Because I don't think the reason why that suit is behind you has been released yet, eh?
No, it hasn't. It's a secret.
It's a secret.
Tim, before we say the secret, I've got to let you know, there's been a fly in this room the whole time. It's been buzzing around, making a racket, getting loud. Before we started recording, I cracked a window. I thought it's unlikely, but this fly might just sense freedom. And I just watched as it gently glided out of the room, setting both itself and myself free of the burden of living with a fly.
That's so good.
I'm Guy Montgomery. Welcome to my house.
I used to live with a fly by me at all times. It was annoying and loud, and I would swat it away. But then I allowed the universe to intervene by introducing a potential opportunity, which was, both metaphorically and literally, me opening a window.
That's right. I invented windows. Previously, every room was just four solid walls and a door that must remain closed at all time. But thanks to the advent of the window, people and flies no longer have to live together in disharmony. Windows, they'll change your life.
But Guy, what if I want to keep the window closed because there are the elements out there such as wind and cold, but I would like some light to come through? What say you then?
Well, you're going to have to learn to live with a fly then.
Oh.
Nothing else for it. Sorry, mate. Okay. If it's too cold. Honestly, if it's cold, you're probably not going to have a fly problem. Flies love the heat. And ants. Flies and ants, they like it when it's warm. You never hear about ant problems in Antarctica.
It's true.
Although we probably will in 50 years, the way the bloody climate's going anyway.
How have you been, Guy? The situation which I alluded to in an episode that came out recently where we played Cult Popshire, appearance on there recently. Great podcast. Shout out. We've been hamstrung from recording for a hot moment.
I know. Look, Tim, I've been all right. I've been in and out, up and down. I am currently actually isolating in my house because the wonderful Olive is what we would call a household contact of someone who's COVID positive.
This is interesting. I was talking to Zoe about this. I can't remember exactly what the rules are, but obviously you've looked into it.
I've looked into it. And Olive actually, and before I say this, I'll let everyone know that she's in great fettle. She's healthy.
That's so good.
She's in good nick, but she tested positive, and we thought, surely that means we will also test positive. And yet, try as we might, we're just built too different. Can't catch the bloody thing.
Mm. It's been funny watching international news report on our COVID coming here now, because listening to a report from NPR, and they were like, Omicron has finally arrived in New Zealand. It's like, we've had it for a while. We're just, you know, we're waiting for everyone to get boosted before we left our houses and opened all the windows everywhere.
I know. And now we have. And I tell you what, looks like it's working.
A lot of people are getting it, but you look at the bad stats. The bad stats they're holding.
We're not a COVID podcast. We apologize for that.
Never have been.
It's part of life here at the moment. And I know in a lot of places you guys have moved on.
Yeah.
All that to say, in the house, happy to be talking with you.
Yeah, buddy.
What can I tell you? There's a cat, Figgy's here, having a good sleep on the couch.
Fucking sick.
Made myself a cup of coffee, reading a good book.
What are you reading, Guy? It's time everywhere. Hold on. Let me hit this thing. Guys, book club. It's time for Guys Book Club.
This is a book I was given by our friend Joe. And he said he devoured it. He couldn't put it down. It's a lovely sort of, I don't want to say trashy, but maybe pulpy thriller.
Oh, nice.
It's a book called I Am Pilgrim by an author called Terry Hayes. And it's just like, it's like reading a Mission Impossible style or James Bond style movie.
Like
it's
a
just
Tom Clancy kind of a joint.
Yeah,
there's just classier.
There's this guy and he's so good at everything and all this stuff keeps going wrong. But luckily the guy's there and he's like, oh, and I knew to do this because of this and I do that and this. And
so like a Sherlock Holmesy, like, do they take you on the ride? They're like, here's how I knew how to do this. Here's how I knew the guy was guilty, because he was limping on his right leg, but I kicked him in his left leg.
It's less sort of whodunity than Sherlock Holmes, but there is, like, you know, you're dealing with a savant. And anyway, look, you know, it's been great. It's you open the book, and within a page, you're totally somewhere else. And sometimes that's all you want. Yeah, what about you, Tim? Nice. I've seen some weighty tomes hanging around your house.
Oh, yeah, but I'm yet to crack into the one that I want to read. So you sent me this one, which I've got at arm's reach at all times.
Oh, yeah, I did.
The Devil in the White City. So sweet. Got a bloody courier, just dropped it off one day. So nice, out of the blue.
Was it a surprise?
It was a total surprise. How nice is that? Just a gift from nowhere. And it's a book from Guy Montgomery. This is the one I'm working my way up to at the moment. I need to finish all the books I'm reading so I can read this.
That sounds like the title of a book that it is literally impossible to finish.
This is called The Dawn of Everything, written by two different Davids, David's Graeber, RIP, and Wingrow. And at the moment, Guy, because I'm still finishing the Ministry for the Future, because how I treat that book now is I go to bed at about midnight or 1 a.m. and then I read two pages on my Kindle and fall asleep. Yeah. So I'm at the last bit, but it's taking a while. But I started a different book.
Oh, this
in
is
the
actually
meanwhile.
Becoming quite stressful.
And the other book that I started is called Stolen Focus.
What's that about? Is that about our attention spans?
Yeah, it is. Oh, shit, I've forgotten the guy's name, but he's a journalist.
Perfect. Literally perfect. Honestly.
Well, yeah, that's memory. That's not focus. No, that's different.
But to say that I'm reading a book called Stolen Focus by, if I forget.
Who cares?
It's funny. It's perfect.
Johann Hari.
That qualifies the book existing.
He's written like three books ever. He spends a long time on them. And I read a previous book by him called Chasing the Scream, which is all about the war on drugs, which I loved.
I remember you telling me about that. You read a lot of nonfiction.
Book. Yeah, it takes longer, I think. Nonfiction takes longer, especially because I'm a very slow reader.
This is what you'll find with this Eric Larson book, is he makes nonfiction feel like fiction. It's like so
historically. If you're following along
accurate.
At home, folks, to Guy's book club, this is the one that Guy couriered over to my house out of the blue, The Devil in the White City.
That's right.
That's the Eric Larson
book.
It's
about a very sinister man who's in Chicago during their successful installation of the World Fair, the famous World Fair that we actually heard a lot about when we went on a boat architecture tour.
It's the World's Fair. The World's Fair. And it's possessive. It's world, possessive apostrophe S.
Yeah,
the fair that belongs to the world.
Not if you ask Chicago. They say it's theirs. Anyway, that's all by the by. As it all is, Tim, we're here to talk friendship. We're here to talk to our friends. And, well, we're here to talk to each other as well, I guess. And
I'm here to dig through historic emails that have been sent to us like a year ago and revisit how everyone was feeling back in September 2021,
honestly,
if I may.
It's nice. We're in our time machine and we're checking in on people in the past.
David writes, "Hey, y'all, I'm currently sitting in my house with no power in the 90 degree Fahrenheit, of course." What's 90, Guy? You used to live stateside. Comfy? It's a bit chilly?
I think it's okay. I'm going to check it while you keep reading.
After spending my 26th birthday in a hotel fleeing Hurricane Ida. I can't even remember how that was pronounced.
Hot.
Is it Ida?
It's 32 and it's
Ida.
Oh,
that is hot.
Yeah.
Ida. And unsure if my house would be there when I got back, I had a window blow in. Shout out to Windows. So that's inappropriate.
It's also totally appropriate. Continue.
And had to throw out a wet couch, but all in all, I made it through fine. Let me just, I've got such a big monitor that if I have like the email too far away, it's actually hard to read. I just finished up season 3. Thanks for providing some levity in a week of disappointment and uncertainty. It is both much needed and much appreciated. Kisses to you both. And if you read this on a friend zone, then hey, me in the future whenever I finally catch up. The work you both do is much loved. And I'm sending my thanks from New Orleans, a city that refuses to bow down no matter what the earth herself throws at us. There is no full stop on the message, Guy, and I love it because to me, it sort of suggests that this email It keeps going forever. It's an open book.
It's still being written in every action, every word.
Everything we do is part of David's email from here on in.
Yeah. So thank you for including us in your email and your entire life, David. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, you're doing all right.
Yeah, man. Hurricanes are no trifle to be matted with.
Oh, man. A nice turn of phrase. Or deliberate misappropriation of a turn
spoonerism.
Of phrase.
Which is spoonerism of an idiom.
One of my favorites. I remember learning to spoonerize names and just getting my rocks off, walking around spoonerizing everything.
I can imagine you going to town. What is a spoonerism, Guy, for the uninitiated?
Bim tat. What you do is you take the first letter of names are the best example. So Tim Bat, you swap the T and the B. So he goes from Tim to Bim and Bat to Tat. Hi, I'm My Montgomery, and this is the Spooning Hour.
My Montgomery is excellent.
Why do you think I fucking loved them so much?
Dude, My Montgomery needs to be a regular fixture, I think, somewhere. Maybe on the podcast, maybe on the stage, but that is a whole other person that I think you need to tap into.
I'd like to meet him. I've got one here, Tim, and this is going to hark back to a friend zone of about, I'd say, 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer. Hi, Tim. Hi, Guy. Just listened to the last friend zone and heard the origins of the Fellas of Frost. The phrase, often licked, never beaten, and Guy's vivid description of what the worst idea of all time inspired Frosty Boy would look like resonated with me so much that I felt the need to whip this up per your implicit call to action. Please enjoy.
Whoa.
Or ignore this piece of art.
Dude, this is so freaky. I was looking at the Frosty Boy logo yesterday. I looked it up because I was like, we need to make merch. That's Tim and Guy Frosty Fellas in the Frosty Boy style. This is crazy.
Yeah. Well, this is fantastic. So it says, please enjoy or ignore this piece of art as you choose your comrade, Matt. Now I'm going to show it to you. And Matt has done an incredible job. I think this is, it's like, he's nailed it. Based on what I described, he's designed the exact thing.
Okay.
I think we probably would put some refining touches, but I'm going to show you the image. And also, for those of you listening at home, I'm going to post this on Twitter and I'm going to post it on our Instagram. Both of those are on @twioatpod.
That's so smart. I was going to put it as the episode art, but let's make these fucking people go and see us places. Terrifying. But it's really cool, but it's like I was sort of expecting someone to jump into like hand draw in the style a new piece of art, but no.
That's what I imagine as well, but we never said it clearly. So it's like they've just literally grafted our photoshops of our faces onto one boy's body.
They've cut Guy and Maya's face and put it on like a two-headed boy onto the Frosty Boy logo. And that, in a lot of ways, is even better than I could have imagined.
Yeah. I love it. So thank you so much for that. And
I was looking up the ads. This is how deep I went. Yesterday, I was like on YouTube looking up old Australian Frosty Boy ads from the 80s because I wanted to be reminded of the jingle.
God,
Frosty Boy, Frosty Boy, something, something, lots of joy. Da, 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 da,
is it Australian? Da, 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 it's just another one of those things that I'm convinced is just for us. And then it's,
I know.
Fucking, it's on
like
both
fucking,
sides of the dish.
It's like the Kiwi burger from McDonald's, man. They literally have the exact same burger in Australia and they just call it the Aussie burger. It is a fucking outrage.
And also, what about Kiwi kids? Are we big kids? Have you been to Australia and seen that? They don't say Kiwi kids, but they do say Aussie kids.
Is it the same thing?
Uh-huh. And
these,
you know,
fucking marketers, before the internet came around, God, they were really having a lot of fun with us, laughing
Absolute.
At our expense.
Yeah, they were.
Look at these fucking idiots.
Weebix is owned by Sanitarium, who are like, are they Seventh-day Adventist or something?
Yeah, that's right. That's how they avoid paying any
tax. Not even a cereal company.
Income tax.
It's a church.
If you're making cereal to the extent where you are regionalizing your slogan, I'm sorry, you got to pay income tax at that point. That's got to be a threshold that you've reached. You're no longer a church dabbling in breakfast anymore. If you've got marketing men who are like, all right, we're going to need to do two sets of this recording of the jingle in the studio, you got to pay some fucking tax on your profits.
Couldn't agree more. I'm with you, Tim. As
you got a message for me, guy?
Yeah, I'm full of them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It reads as such. Dear Frosty Fellas, Timbo, and Flash Montgomery. Now, I like to think that because you didn't get a surname and it's Timbo and Flash Montgomery, in this message, we share my surname. I've been listening since 2020 and have finally blasted all the way through the back catalogue. In the midst of returning to work here in the States, you boys have made the horrifying aspect of returning to the workplace and remaining in the workplace a less harrowing endeavor.
Thank you
for what you do. Say my named, esteemed director, Christopher Nolan. Nah, not really. Just some regular Chris Nolan.
Chris Nolan, director or none. I want to know what you do for a living. In my head, you work in a freezing works.
I like it. I've got a postscript here, Tim, aka yep. PS. I had throughout listening tons of things I had thought of saying when I got up to date, but they've all vanished in the completeness of time. Fuck. Also, real PS, I became a Patreon member.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'm just going to write back saying thank you for Interstellar.
Yep. Great. Much appreciated. Please sign that off by Timbo Montgomery as well, co-signs that message. The thing is, Chris, if you think of anything else to tell us, just send us another message, mate. It's all good.
We are here. Receiving, reading, enjoying, engaging. The boys.
Hey, how many, what are you, day 3 out of 10 in the house?
It's not a lot, yeah. I think that is correct, yeah. Day 3 out of 10.
I'm excited to see where this goes.
Well, I'm not. I'm actually going out of my frickin' mind already. Isn't it?
It's interesting because
there'll be times where I don't leave my house for a day anyway. But as soon as the option's taken away from you, you think, it would be nice.
How often does that come up for you, that you wouldn't leave the house in a day? Because I do that every now and then as well, and I always feel fucking gross. But actually, I very rarely have it now because I walk the dog at least, you know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You'll go for a run or something, right?
Yeah. But, like I'd say probably one day in every 3 weeks, I just completely forget to leave.
Yeah, forget to. Well, oh, fuck. You got to go to bed. Oh, God damn it. I forgot
to. Here's the thing. If you spend too long just in your house, you forget that there's a world out there. And you think, why is it just me? Or, you know, me and my loved ones.
Hard out, dude. That's why we can't buy Oculuses. Oculi?
Wow, yeah.
We'll just be inside too much. Gentlemen, I'm a long-time listener, second-time writer.
Congratulations.
My Friend Zone debut was way back in episode 30, where my message was accompanied by a lovely rendition of my name, sung by Guy. Now, this message was sent, Guy, on the 7th of September, 2021.
I remember it fondly.
Now, I'm sliding into the Friend Zone once again. Oh, that's this message, not the previous one. The previous one would have been far before then. Yeah. Your back catalogue of... I don't know if I finished that last sentence. I'm sliding back into the friend zone once again to say thank you. Your back catalogue of West Studio, Cats, and overlooked episodes kept me laughing throughout an otherwise fairly isolating pandemic. Here's a hypothetical for each of you. You have the budget to self-fund, self-write, and self-direct a sitcom starring yourself that you would later bribe a prominent streaming platform to distribute worldwide. Sound familiar? Who would you want as your hapless sidekick, and what antics would you be up to? With love, from Toronto, Canada, Mallory. Say it. P.S. During Friendzone 124, you mulled over the idea of getting into the audiobook space. As a frequent listener of audiobooks, I support that. Books can be more memorable when they're read by someone with an accent different from my own. Recently, I listened to books narrated by British, Irish, and Nigerian voice actors, all of which were good. The only bad listen was due to a voice actor who, for reasons unknown, chose to use a sing-songy, obviously fake British accent to narrate a non-fiction, somewhat serious book about a Canadian murder case from 1915. Avoid making similar choices and you'll be great. PPS, congratulations on your newborn, Tim, and all the best to your growing family.
Well, I've got to say, speaking of Remy, before I was isolating, I saw that baby, and it's not a newborn anymore. That is a full-blown infant. The kid's a freaking giant. It's beautiful.
He's big, eh?
Yeah.
And he looks like such a boy. He's real, I think, anyway. He's very boyish.
I couldn't agree more. He's like, in his bassinet, the guy who looked like he was bursting at the seams.
Oh, totally. He occupies that whole fucking thing now.
Absolutely gorgeous. I really like the prompt in this. I like the sort of creative exercise. So it's a sitcom. I assume we're playing ourselves.
You've made Real Rob. How do you do it? And Jamie? Who is your Jamie?
I think it's me, and I think Rob Schneider is my Jamie. I think it's about time Rob Schneider felt what it's like when the boot's on the other foot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I'm just
I feel like him. Rob Schneider puts Rob Schneider through the ringer enough, though, that, like, he doesn't need another person doing that.
Yeah, he does, but he's still putting himself up here and pushing his sidekick down there. And I think it's important for Rob to spend a season of a sitcom in Jamie's shoes. What about you, Tim?
I want to know what antics you get up to, though.
Okay.
That was the second part of the question.
We're mostly shopping for pets. I've got a penchant for high-end, rare, exotic, difficult to obtain, difficult to maintain pets. And Rob is my lackey. He's on the ground. He's trying to steal things from zoos. He's breaking into pet shops, and I'm always sort of getting away with it with my hands clean, and Rob's picking up all sorts of battle wounds and scars. And finally, you know, there's a different pet every episode, but the season arc is I'm trying to keep a like a Siberian tiger in my suburban home in Auckland.
Yeah.
And Rob's like, there's no way this is going to happen, and we keep doing it. And then finally in the last episode, he gets a Siberian tiger and brings it to my house, and
so good.
I've just finished painting a cat like a Siberian tiger, and he's like, "What? I worked so hard to get this," and I'm like, "Nah, it's too big. Look at it, Rob. It's ridiculous. I'm just gonna stick with the cat." And then Rob's like, "Ah!" You know, he's really pissed off.
Shit, that's good. That's so good. Can't top that. We're gonna move on.
You can. You must.
No. Let's get a message from you. That's really good. You beat it out a whole episode. It's fantastic.
This is just a recommendation. And do you know what I love? Is it's not like you should do a season of this. You should do it. It's just like someone writing in saying, I highly recommend you funny, chaotic boys watch Never Back Down. And then there's a photo which my phone says couldn't load high resolution image. But underneath it says, wish me luck, boys, which is like, depending how you interpret it, funny or terrifying, because movie recommendation, unknown photo, wish me luck.
Putting on a helmet to go into the cinema.
Yeah.
And safety gloves. The film was theatrically released on March 14th, 2008, and received generally negative reviews. I've never seen that before. People always say mixed.
Yeah.
Generally negative reviews from critics, and grossed 41.5 million off a budget of 20 mil. So it didn't lose money per se.
I feel like one of the stars of that movie, if I'm not mistaken, I remember being a of course I'd say this, a featured player in the OC.
Okay, Sean Farris?
No, no. I'll tell you who it was. It was, oh my God, it's this guy Cam.
Yeah, Cam.
Gagandit?
Yeah, you got it.
And he played a character called Volchek. Volchok.
Really?
Kevin Volchok. And I'm just trying to remember what his
Have you ever rewatched
was.
It, Guy? You should fucking do an OC podcast.
I would actually love it.
That should happen. That'd be good.
I mean, it's such a cultural sticking point for me that I'm sure I'd get so much out of it. And
you love it.
I do. I love it. A season cannot go by without me talking about it. Not even a bloody friend zone. Hi, I'm Guy. Go ahead, Tim.
Hello, Tim Bat. My name is Renee. I'm a long-time listener and some kind of missionary for Worst Idea. Had a great We Are Your Friends birthday party a couple of years ago. I don't know if you and Guy like folk rock, but I just released a record of that. So I'd share it with you. Since I've enjoyed your guys' content for so long, hope you like it. Oh. And then there's a Bandcamp link. Bandcamp, recently purchased.
By who?
Epic Games, I think. Sorry, I'm just keeping an ear out because Remy's waking up.
I see. Well, let's put a pin in this shortly. Is that a good or a bad thing, Tim? I use Bandcamp.
Doesn't feel great. People are pretty worried about it. I'm trying to get this, see if I can listen to this. Oh, it's playing through my speakers. How unexpected. I'm going to have to listen to this separately because it's too hard to do on the thing. And Guy, I'm sending you a link via Facebook so you also can have a listen. And if I remember, I'm going to maybe just put it like underneath as a bed, if that's not disrespectful, Renee. And also, Guy, R-E-N-E, would you say Renee?
Yeah, I would.
Although, There's no accent or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Renee, there was a guy when I, do you know what's funny? When I was doing open mics in Toronto all these years ago, there was a guy whose name was Renee, spelt like that. And it's like, you know, you collect all these people as friends on Facebook. And then all these years later, like these open mic comedians who don't do comedy anymore and I haven't spoken to since I like met them at five shows, because it was such a defining and vivid period of my life. I have such like visceral, vivid memories, and like the mental association I tie myself to with these people is so much stronger than any reality. And anyway, he was called Renee, spelled it the same as this person. Probably okay, different. Never talked about folk rock.
Okay.
Now, should I read? I've got another message here. It's quite big. Should we close on one? Or should we just
wrap it
up?
Hey, why don't you read it? And I'm going to go pick up Remy. So I'm not going to hear the first bit of this. I'm going to bring him in here, okay?
Okay. Can I request Guy or Tim reads this in any character accent of his choosing? I'm just going to read it as myself. I'm sorry. I had a long, hard think about it, but that's just what I'm in. That's where I'm at right now. Good morning, Guy and Tim. Long time listener, fifth time communique. You guys have personally got me through my battle with depression and my mum's final battle with cancer in April 2020.
Fuck, we're good.
When we were struck into lockdown for the first time. The battle, April 2020, was when we were struck in lockdown for the first time. Just want to say, each time I felt inside my head, I put you guys in my ear holes and I was transported and laughs and giggles were aplenty. Prior to that, I married my high school sweetheart and heard about you guys from Fletch and Vaughn in 2014.
What?
Which is like an old, I think back then it was a drive time radio show on a commercial music
Fletch and Vaughn are New Zealand radio royalty.
It's true. The best year of my life. Christchurch boy, just as you two. It was Grown Ups 2, the first season. I think you were around the EP 21 at that stage. I listened to the EP and immediately went back to the start and got my dick deep into your podcast. If Fast forward into this year, 2022. I've got two kids, 2 and 5. Tim is a baby and Guy's a stepdad. And we've all grown up. Holy shit, full circle. Love the show. When I've got my shit together this year, I'm going to join the Patreon and hashtag pay the boys. Until then, posh air kisses and hugs from your nervous boy. Say my motherfucking name in unison. And Tim, this person's name is...
Oh, wait, put it in the chat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then give me a countdown, big boy.
Have you got it there?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Benjamin.
All right. Benjamin. Thank you, Ben. I'm sorry to hear of the, you know, the ups and downs and trials and tribulations of life, but I'm glad to be. We could be of some assistance, or as Tim says, be fucking good. And you know, nice to hear from a local bloody yokel instead of all these high flying, you know, international listeners. Now, that's nothing against the international listeners. I mean, we're grateful for all the correspondence we get, and we love you all very much.
Ben, thank you. What a kind message, and what a fucking journey we've all been on, eh?
It's been a big friend zone. I feel like we've covered a lot of ground, and now big like time. Remy's here. Have you ever put Remy on mic?
No.
And nor should you.
He doesn't have a ton, I don't think, to say for a podcast just yet, just right now.
Yeah. Well,
he's on cam, though. People can't see this, but he's just trying to make sense of it. He's looking at the monitor. He's like, what's going on? What's happening here?
It's a beautiful thing. Well, it's been a delight. And Tim, at the end of this, I'd like to say something.
I would want you to, and I've got some things to say too, some sort of like production notes maybe.
Okay.
Or, you know, things that are coming up is a better way of putting it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say as well, because the those of you who are still listening to this friend zone, this deep in the pocket, will know that last year, Tim and I put on a live show called The Best Worst Host of All Time, in which we competed to be anointed the best host of the worst podcast. We put ourselves and each other through a rigorous series of challenges and tests, and at the end of the night's competition, I won. I was anointed the best host, and that is a title I will carry with me to my grave. However, there was an event inside of that show that Tim defeated me in, and it was, I was betrayed, and it came with a pretty hefty punishment.
You lost the game.
I lost a game. Due to Tim's betrayal, and the punishment for that game is and has been hanging over me heavy.
Like a sword of cinema, yeah. Democles.
Like it's cast a long cloud. Is I have owing to Tim, myself, the community at large, a double screening, a back-to-back screening of the cinematic masterpiece Sex and the City 2. And as I isolate and as the days advance and the years go by, I feel I owe it to everyone to pay my penance and deliver on this sort of long-standing promise.
Do you know what's messed up? When you told me, I bit my tongue, but when you told me that you had to isolate for 10 days, it was the first thing that came into my head.
Tim, I actually hate that. It makes me physically ill. And so... In New Zealand time, on this Friday, the 11th of March, at 12 p.m. NZT, that's 10 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time and some other times that I will get for you, I will be live streaming using my rudimentary setup on my YouTube channel. I'll post all this information, but I will be doing my homework. I'll be doing my diligence. I'll be doing my duty, and I will be watching. I'll be spending 5 hours by myself in the company of your Carries, your Mirandas, your Charlottes, and so help me God, and thank you God, your Samanthas, and all of the other miscreants that they hoover up along their fucked up journey into the desert. So I'm doing it. That's when it's happening.
Sex in the City 2 times 2. That is Sex in the City 4. You by Guy.
Sex in the City 4 for 5 hours. So that is now happening. And I just thought I should let you know.
Tune in, everybody. It's going to be really funny.
Oh, no.
Well, because the live stream, I guess we'll talk about this after now because we haven't really fleshed this out. But essentially, it's just going to be you silently watching a screen being sad, right? That people can tune in for and observe.
I imagine that I'll make some offhanded comments, stuff that I would usually internalize, I guess I'll say out loud, just because on the off chance there's someone watching, it would be nice to...
Here's a bit of fun. I'll see if I can knock out some time in the calendar so I can sort of like moderate comments or something. Like I'll just be there on the in the comment section and you won't be privy to any of that because you'll be watching the movie.
Because I'm not responding. I'm just watching. Like
You're not allowed to see fun stuff like people cheering you on.
It's your classic no distractions. It's your traditional worst idea model. Oh my God. Honestly, there was a part of me that was like, this is funny, but talking about it out loud makes it real, and now I'm full of dread.
It's going to be great, mate. Just want to let everyone know, I am, contrary to evidence, I am cutting up the Killianer episodes. It's just, it's tricky.
Yeah.
And I've had to teach myself a completely different video editing program to do it because Adobe is out of my life now.
Name of your sex tape, or you know, of your biography. Yeah, I had to teach myself first. I came up with the name of my autobiography yesterday. Oh, I was trying to help.
That's pretty good. Oh, I thought of a better name for my for a comedy show, which I guess I'll have to use next year now. High-minded.
High-minded. How good is that? Yeah, that is good.
It's quick. Double entendre.
Yeah.
Except not sexual. Is it still double entendre? Look, let's stop. Yeah.
It's been great. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Check out our Frosty Fellas image at Twiwap Pod. Keep corresponding with us. Subscribe to the Patreon if you've not already.
And for the love of God, you got to watch Guy Montgomery Hoover Down Sex in the City 2 in a couple days' time. It's going to be fantastic.
As someone who's isolating, the idea of someone doing that and me just being able to have it on in the background is great comfort to me. Yep. But the idea of being the person who's in the background is obviously it's not what you want.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thanks so much for listening.
I'm starting to feel bad about what I've put you in, but
well, thank you. You should.
Yeah. The entertainment value outweighs any guilt though, so.
Yeah, and you are an entertainer first and a person with humanity second.
Correct.
And I tip my hat to you for that. Well, it's been a lot of fun. It's great to catch up. And Remy is looking absolutely gorgeous. You've got a beautiful family, Tim.
Thanks, buddy. So do you. Goodbye, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.